Synthaholics, it's the Star Trek podcast.
Synthaholics, thank you so much for downloading this episode. Today we are talking about another episode of Picard. This time we are talking about the third episode, The End is the Beginning. Today on the show you have myself, Aaron O'Brien. You have also David Duncan.
The end is nigh.
The end is nigh. We have Holly Michelle.
Hey.
And we have the grumpy geek from the Geekiverse himself, Pete Herr. Welcome, Pete.
Hey, thanks for having me. Doesn't make me grumpy to be here.
So, as always, if you can, please share the show with your friends. You can do that through social media or just by word of mouth. You can tag us at Synthaholic Duel on Twitter. You can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. And if you find this show valuable, of course, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics, and you can look at what we can do for you there. Guys, we are again back in Picard land. Non-spoilers, just for first maybe 10 minutes, let's just talk about what we felt about where the show is going and where we are. Pete, since you are a guest, I'm going to let you go first, how you feel about this episode without throwing giving any spoilers away.
I'm enjoying the whole series. I really am. And I've been given a lot of thought because David and I converse via, you know, Facebook Messenger and
Spacebook.
Maybe it's just because it's the characters that I'm familiar with and stuff like that. I understand that some people are not as enamored with it as I am. And I don't think that, you know, we're not off like a shot. Certainly things are a little bit slow going up to this point, but I'm really kind of enjoying it all.
Nice. Very nice. How about you, Dave? What about yourself? What'd you think about this episode?
Episode 3 so far, it's the best one yet. We're finally in space. Captain Rios is an interesting character. I'm enjoying him. Hopefully he'll remain cool as it goes on. Yeah, pretty good episode. Like, yeah, I do agree.
He's like, he smokes cigars. That's what you like him.
Yeah, he's my favorite. He's gonna do. Mm-hmm. He's totally gonna Monica Lewinsky the show.
What does that even mean?
I don't. Even
it means
know
whatever that you want it to mean.
Oh.
What about you, Holly?
I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed the show. I think I watched, so I wasn't on last week. I watched that episode like 3 times, and I watched this episode like 2.5 times. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I just want to absorb everything I can. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm also kind of intoxicated, so I don't know what
this is the way.
Synthaholic's way.
We have spoken.
Yes, we have spoken. So I'm enjoying it. I think the pacing finally picked up a little bit in this episode. Finally, I thought the first 2 episodes were a little draggy, but I still love where this all developing. I still hate that Romulan Narek, whatever his name is.
Narek.
Yeah, he gets on my nerves, just like Ash Tyler did. So.
Hashtag not my wicked Spock.
Is that the presumed boyfriend of the...
Yeah, the pretty boy. Smash your face. Good, pretty boy.
Although, I don't know. He seems like he could... He seems like he's kind of on the fence with the whole thing.
They always seem like that, and then they're always a scumbag in the end.
Maybe he won't be a scumbag. Maybe he'll actually, like... do the right thing.
They'll do the Game of Thrones and he'll sleep with his sister.
Well, anyway, so I guess brother. I guess this episode all gets a thumbs up from everybody.
Although, let's get in. Although I do agree with Pete and you, Aaron, that it's slow. And I really think they could have summed up these three episodes in about an episode and a half, quite honestly.
No, I liked it all.
Pacing, people, pacing.
I mean, I get pacing, but like, there's so much to eat into. There's so much to dig in, you know?
I'm going to go on my Star Trek. I'm going to start repeating what I said on Star Trek Discovery, except it's worse this time. There's only 10 episodes. For the love of God, move things along. Right. Don't drag your feet so much. Discovery had 15 episodes, and I was saying this then, and it's even worse now that there's less episodes. Pacing, please, for the love of God. If you're telling a story, tell it.
Well, let's get into full story and full spoilers. So if you haven't seen this episode, the end is the beginning. You can turn it off now. Or if you have, please listen along. So this end of the beginning is episode 3 in season 1 of Star Trek Picard. And we aired on my birthday, February 6th. And that is 2020, which is not the year I was born, unfortunately.
Happy belatedest birthday. Was this a good birthday present, Aaron?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, I liked it. It was good.
Not as much.
So we get started on kind of a flashback, and this is at Starfleet headquarters, and we have Admiral Jean-Luc Picard meets with Raffi, and this is right after the synth attack on Mars, and they are talking about what happened and how basically the higher up chain is reacting to it. And unfortunately, because of what the synths did to the Mars base and Utopia Planitia plant, shipyards, they decided they're going to mothball all the fleet, the rescue fleet. And Picard tried to fight them and tried to change their minds, but they weren't having it. And so that's where he said that he would tender his resignation. And
we're mothballing all the synths, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. We're mothballing everything.
Yeah, everything gets turned off. Turn the lights off. So, and it's funny, even back then, Raffi is saying that it might be a Tal Shiar sabotage and, you know, trying to make problems between the Romulan people and the Federation. But, you know, Picard is basically, there's nothing I can do. And even Raffi's like, okay, so you resign. So what's next? And he goes, that was my, you know.
That was my bluff. I don't know.
Okay. We're going to whore ourselves out. Oh, to boy. The Orions, and then we're going to have the Orions save them, but we're going to have really big gapings.
Oh, Jesus.
It's going to be
really
rough.
Oh, God.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's not Raffi do that. Was willing to
explore. There's stuff we can do, but not that.
Raffi was willing to explore anything.
So it's funny, because Raffi, then she gets pretty pissed off at Picard after hearing this, and then she gets basically fired. Called... Yeah, well, she gets unknown at the moment, but
she gets fired.
She gets fired, yeah, but she definitely she leaves Picard in anger, and that's where we leave him. And then we pick up right after that. Where
she gets fired for separate reasons. She's a drug addict.
Yeah.
Maybe she wasn't at that time.
She didn't pass her pee test. Her Starfleet transported pee test.
Have we ever seen her before?
In the comics. Huh?
Yeah, in the comics, just before this started, they did a comic. So she served with Picard on his ship when he was an admiral on the Verity, the USS Verity, after Picard left, the Enterprise and became admiral. So.
Which is an Odyssey class.
Is there random drug testing in the comics?
You know what? If there is, they didn't depict that in anything of her peeing in any cups.
Well,
or anything,
see, they can just secretly transport it away from you, because, you know, Scotty always beamed the pee and poop out of people, so they can just beam it out of you without you knowing, and then they just test it.
What?
Yeah,
that's why.
What series were you watching?
That's no one. I was watching the original series. No one ever went to the bathroom.
David's head cannon.
We're gonna see that on Lower Decks, but. Think about it, though. If you have, like, an addictive personality and you serve with somebody like Picard, like, you're going to get addicted to, like, going into action and, like, all of this adrenaline. And then
that's why you see Deanna with some white powder on her nose.
Doesn't have to be drugs at first, David. she could have just had some adrenaline issues, and then after she was let go,
to the mobile home park on that little planet there.
Hey, I wouldn't mind living in a mobile home. They all have like jacuzzi tubs. Just saying.
Well, she's in
rock solid point. This is rock solid point, Holly.
I know, right?
This is Vasquez Rocks. This is where they filmed the Gorn fight with Kirk when he fights a big lizard monster.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's the same place. Actually, a lot of Star Trek was filmed at Vasquez Rocks. But yes,
also so Vulcan in Star Trek 2009 was shot at Vasquez Rocks.
Yeah.
Who owns it? Is it?
I think it's a state park.
James Roddenberry's backyard. No, or something?
It's either a state or national park. I'm not quite sure.
It's some sort of park because the guy who played the Gorn likes giving tours there. Apparently.
That's fantastic.
I think he does it in costume too.
That's how he makes a buck nowadays.
He's like,
last time I was in Scotland, there was an Ewok that had a sign that said, you know, life's been tough since Endor, so you had to give him like a pound note, and then he would take a picture with you and stuff, like a panhandling Ewok.
That is hilarious.
It's also fantastic. I've got the picture somewhere. I'll send it to you.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
I mean, like, that's the awesome. Death Star falling on Endor would have caused an extinction level event that any Ewok survived makes no sense.
Well, this guy was off world. This is visiting true. His mother-in-law.
That's true. Well, so at Raffi's trailer park, or actually Lone Trailer.
Yes, her Lone Trailer.
We're there again now in the present time with Picard when he comes to Raffi saying, I believe the Romulan Tal Shiar is working within on Earth somehow. And he says, basically spells out his conspiracy that he believes that Bruce Maddox made two synthetic humans, which is Soji and
Dash.
Dash, thank you. I forgot. And that he needs to find Bruce Maddox. But of course, Raffi already got wind of all this because Picard went to the Admiral Clancy and told her his plan. And so he basically knows everything already. So she knows everything already. Raffi knows everything because Clancy is already talked to her. It's like basically ignore Picard kind of thing.
Raffi's a great character.
Yeah, she said, you know, you shouldn't have flapped your lips to Admiral Clancy about your plan.
And, I don't know that she said that because Clancy contacted her. I think Picard told her that he went to Starfleet.
That's not the impression I got, but it doesn't matter. But no matter what, she's belligerent towards Picard because of what happened before in the past.
Because she's sitting in a trailer park smoking snake weed.
Mm-hmm.
Snake leaf. Snake leaf, sorry.
Yeah. And Picard then has to try to convince her. And apparently... Raffi's gone through some shit over the last 14 years. And
so remember this plan we had with the Orions. Let's try that now.
Yeah, it's only getting better.
And, I just kind of want to say real quick that I felt like it wasn't explained, so I don't know. But it's kind of shitty that Picard would go to her, and she had this, such this issue. And that it kind of feels like he knew she had this issue. But he went to her anyway, and, I feel like that's why he thought he might help her. Like, he shows up with the wine, yeah, but then he's like, secret Romulan agents acting on the planet Earth, like, are you going to take the wine or what? And
I didn't know we had Patrick Stewart today.
That's an excellent point, Holly. It's like, here she's got probably some kind of addiction problem. He's like, will you help me for this wine, you booze hound? You know?
Yeah. It was kind of shitty of him.
I'm telling you, I think she's a great character.
She's easily manipulated with some wine, so.
Yeah. Well, hey, me too.
Right. But she's pretty pissed off, and Picard has been kind of like not in communication with her for the 14 years, and she's pretty pissed off at him, and she feels that he abandoned her. So I'm assuming that she had some rough years between that, those 14 years where he left. And then she even talks about, you know, oh, you're in your opulence, you know, chateau in France, where I'm living in a trailer park out in the desert.
Waller.
Yeah. It, you know, and then I'm thinking, like, isn't like the Federation on Earth, like, there's no, like, you know,
trailer parks.
There's no money, and it's all like
Rio, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, Rio said something about money. Yeah, like, we're seeing so much of civilian life in Star Trek Picard, and it's nothing like other Star Trek has portrayed it to be. Mm-hmm, she's like, mm-hmm. Oh, we've got the chateau. I mean, like, sure, like, it's a thing in his family, but I mean, like, I don't know. I think she's just bitter that he has more stuff than her, but also right. In First Contact, he specifically says, we don't care about the acclimation of wealth. But apparently Raffi does.
Yeah, and
she's living in a trailer park.
Well, she likes to gamble, so obviously she likes possessions.
Ooh, very good. And he puts all his possessions in a museum in Starfleet, so.
And she should just try to get some possessions by hitting up that the Orion slave market if she wants some of that.
There you go. So, anyways.
Not easy being green, Dave.
Not easy being green.
Hey, you can get those species reassignment things really easy. The Narek's sister got her ears dead in just an episode. So, I mean, just get spray painted green.
Yeah, there you go.
Go to Vegas. You can get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. So Picard does apologize, and then he, you know, obviously he's looking for a pilot to take him up in space and to try and find Maddox. And this is where she recommends Rios, who is a pilot. So this is where he has to go, and Picard has to go meet Rios. And when he beams aboard his ship, there is a emergency medical hologram, which is Rios as well. So, and he seems to know Picard, and it's strange.
I love that, actually.
Yeah, it's like different aspects of his personality or something, right?
Something. So, I don't know. Maybe we're going to find out.
I got to tell you, if I had an EMH, it wouldn't look like me.
No?
It would look like Jerry Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, it would look like anybody else but me, I'll tell you what.
Right? Like, I can look myself in the mirror in the morning. That's kind of troublesome.
It's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
I don't know. I think it'd be fun to have a me.
People think he's gay, and that's why he's got himself to do, because he's like the mirror universe people. They just want to screw themselves.
Well, that's not why I would have me. I don't know.
No. I just mean Rios, because that's what I've heard, that he might be gay, and that's maybe why.
You say gay guys like to do themselves?
Oh, and Kira wanted to do herself in the mirror universe. So, I mean, like,
well, think about it. When you have trust issues, as he seems to have when he has that little discussion with Picard, the only person that you can really trust for sure is yourself.
Or computer program version of yourself.
Well, exactly. That's a comforting person to when you have such huge trust issues, you can look at yourself and have a little bit more trust, and it feels a little more familiar and friendly.
Well,
nope, not buying it. Like, last person I want to look at when I'm sick is me.
You know the real reason? The real reason probably the same actor is probably because they're probably going to kill Rios.
This isn't going to go well. They're going to kill him and then keep the EMH around?
Yeah, that's probably what's going
to
happen.
I imagine the EMH would be reprogrammed to be whoever.
But foreshadowing, Holly. They've got two of them, so they can kill the real one, and then the hologram will take on his legacy and become the emergency command hologram, just like the Doctor always wanted.
And we find out that so Picard meets Rios, and Rios is kind of acts like a badass, smoking cigars and drinking, like, I don't know what it was, bourbon or whiskey or whatever.
Closing his wounds with a cigar.
he didn't drink it. He poured it on his wound.
And then used the cigar to seal it in. It was great.
Right, right.
Nice clothes. Yeah, so, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well,
I don't know.
You know who's the Terminator in this thing is that Commodore O with her slick Ray-Bans on. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Ray-Bans survive into the future. It was awesome.
Right.
The most conspicuous Vulcan ever.
God. She kind of stands out. Right, exactly. But so Picard, did you see that Rios even had one of Picard's books or something on the on his console there when he picked it up.
I wasn't sure who the authors were, but I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah, so he definitely likes, and it must have been, Picard says Rios is a, I don't know what he said, like a through-and-through Starfleet officer. And mm-hmm. apparently something happened to Rios that kind of changed that. So we don't know quite yet, but.
Yeah, and he said something that made me wonder, because he was talking about, you know, I already had this big, grand, heroic captain before, and I saw his blood on the mm-hmm. on the bulkhead. And I was wondering if I had missed that. No, I didn't get a chance to watch anything earlier than that. I didn't watch 1 and 2 again. So I was just wondering whether we had already heard about that particular ship or something.
Nope.
This is his own story.
Yeah, that's yet to be revealed.
And then I hope they do it before they kill him.
Or he has sex with his
his EMH.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he had sex with that badass guy and his head got bashed out from the sex.
Oh, David.
Dave, that's just dark and gross.
Sorry.
Jesus. So, anyways.
David.
So, we jump now back to...
Kiss, Bang, Bang.
Great movie if you haven't seen that. We jump down to Okinawa at the Daystrom Institute where Dr... what's her name?
Agnes Girardi.
So Agnes is, like you said, approached by Commodore O with her sunglasses. And
Commodore,
she wants to know
my.
Oh, no. So nice. Nice. Well done. So she wants to know everything, the interactions between her and Jean-Luc Picard. So obviously she... she's aware of Agnes.
There's a time I slept with him. There's a time you slept with him, O.
So,
Allison Phil, the actress that plays Girardi, mm-hmm. she's perfect for that.
She's so good.
She's right. Perfect for it. Like, I loved her in The Newsroom, but she's just got like that geeky, I'm the world's number one authority on synthetic life face. You know what I mean? Like, she's perfect for this role.
Yeah. She's got that. She's got the intelligent look, but she also has like an innocent look too. Like, so that she wouldn't want to hurt people, you know,
it's a baby face, you know, like it's just like, she looks geeky. It's fantastic.
Well, it's also highly conspicuous. She shows up later. So I don't think she's as innocent and nice as we think she is.
Oh, you think she's an agent, huh?
She's plotting.
Secret agent. Oh, secret agent.
I was kind of wondering if maybe she's being impersonated.
I thought that too, Holly.
Yeah.
I did when she came, because there was just something a little bit off about her from the first time that I saw her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I absolutely was like, wonder if this is like some sort of Star Trek shapeshifter-y thing going on.
Well, in episode 2, there is discussion about the appearance. What is that Romulan? She's using a...
Which one are you talking about?
The one with the ears.
Words are failing me. Yeah, the one with the rounded ears that are then pointy ears.
Oh, right. Rizzo.
Okay.
Yeah, she works with Commander.
Exactly.
Commodore.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think it's her. There's just nothing really to go on for that. But she's using some kind of camouflage so that you don't know that she's a Romulan. So when I saw her again, I was like, I wonder if the reason why they showed us talking to Girardi was to kind of be like, did she run away or is she being impersonated? Was she captured or killed and then somebody took her place?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a future. Anything's possible for sure.
Anything is possible.
Well, we also then jump to the Borg cube. And this is where we get back together with Soji. And we see for the first time Hugh. And he's a little more human looking than what we saw him last time. And
he doesn't look like he's dying of cold. His lips aren't blue anymore.
So So he
there's
he,
that.
Yeah, there's that. So he talks to her about some of his her interactions and how, like, we saw, I think it was the last episode where Soji held the hand of one of the Borg that they were taking off all the prosthetics, and she said, "You're free now," or something like that, in his
"You're free now, my friend," or something.
Yeah, in his native tongue, and so that, and she was like, "Well, I'm hopefully that would give him, you know, some kind of comfort," and so she had this thought of a unifying mythology that could help the Borg, I guess, get back to normal. I kind of walked away from what her conversation with Hugh, and that he was going to arrange a meeting with some Romulans that were assimilated just before they got this cube under their control.
There was a specific one.
Yes,
she wanted to speak to you, and, right, and the information on this person was highly classified.
Right.
Ramda.
Ramda the Romulan.
Ramda the Romulan. Who has since been unborged.
Yeah, she's been unborged, but still a little spaced out. It seems like all of them are a little spaced out, to tell you the truth.
And they're all Romulans.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a Romulan ship.
The Romulans are only unassimilating other Romulans. All the rest of them, they can just screw it.
Okay, yeah. So here's my question, though: is that by design, or are the only ones waking up Romulan?
The Romulans are only freeing Romulans because Romulans are racist. Even though it looks like it's a joint effort, but the Romulans are only allowing Romulans to be woken.
Right, they are racist. But so far, episode 3, there isn't anything else that helps that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know. I don't know why they're all Romulans.
Yeah, I don't know either, but so he's going to meet Ramda the Romulan. So anyways, then we
get pick the name, man.
I know it's funny. I didn't put those two together until you said it.
So now you say it and it's like, oh, is that the only name they had?
It's funny.
You can never unhear it.
Yeah, I know. Now it's there forever. And now we jump over to Chateau Picard, and they're making their plans on getting going up with up in space and trying to find Maddox. When
I think there was something before this that I wanted to say that was hilarious.
Oh, what was it?
I think Picard calls Rafi in the midst of this, and he's like,
He gives
her some intel, and then he's like, "I know you're doing research. Carry on."
Yeah, and she's like, "God damn it, I don't want it." He's like, "Here it is, anyways." He just does.
That was totally hilarious, actually. Carry on, and he hangs up on her.
I love
it. he knows that there's no way she's not going to look and go through it. Right. So, yeah, that was funny.
He's just stalking her. That's all.
Yeah, I know.
Or he knows her so well, because we don't really know how long they served together.
She calls her JL, so obviously there must be...
It must have been a while.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I love this character, because she's just so not anything that's ever served with him before. You know,
I loved her in the comic, too. I mean, I haven't actually read the third one yet, but their chemistry is really unique.
Yeah, I've got the comic stacked up here with the 7,000 other issues I haven't read yet.
So during that time, he's back at Chateau Picard, and they are making their plans when Dr. Angie's comes back, and she tells them everything that Commodore O came asking questions about Picard, and and this is when they are attacked by some more Tal Shiar agents, the motorcycle crew, basically, again. So, and it's pretty cool. I think it was a pretty cool fight scene. They're a motorcycle again. They're all wearing motorcycle helmets.
You know? I mean, you're not wrong.
I thought it was a cool fight scene. I thought it was pretty cool, and it was very, very believable, too, because, you know, like, Picard got himself knocked around a little bit, 7-year-old mm-hmm. guy, you know, but mm-hmm. he still, you know, he had a phaser tucked under his desk, so that was kind of cool.
There was phasers everywhere. Did you see that? It was, like, under every desk. There was phasers and stuff. It was
fantastic. You know he's a military... Yeah, you know he's a military man and he's got phasers tucked around places. He's like, just in case. Just in case. So
I've loved every fight scene so far.
Yeah. Yeah, fight scenes have been really good.
Pretty good, yeah.
And
I think visually this, you know, that's generally my thing, right? And I think visually this thing is spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's one of the reasons that I love Discovery. Like I can't speak dates. What was the last one? Voyager or Enterprise?
Enterprise, yeah.
And when did that end? 2004, 2005, 2007, something like that. So we've been, you know, 10, 12, 15 years without it, and they gave Star Trek a visual upgrade, and I love it. I love it. I could watch it every day because it now looks like a sci-fi. It doesn't look like, you know, cardboard walls and stuff right. like that.
Exactly. It's gotten a lot better.
I mean, you can't, there's a lot of complaints about the way Discovery looks because it's like so much better than TOS looked. You know, it's just, we're a modern audience now.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, we have the tech. Filmmaking got better.
I'm happy they upgraded it with the look and everything. And when you see Pike's Enterprise, I think they did a decent job making it look up to date.
Yeah, I agree.
So they go through the attack and they survive. There's one of the Romulan Tal Shiars are still alive, and they obviously tie this guy up, and they start asking questions, trying to figure out what's going on. And this is also, then we jump back to Soji, where she's talking to Romda the Romulan, and she's going through this. They're not like tarot cards, but there's something
Romulan similar.
They're totally tarot cards.
They're very similar to it. Yeah,
tarot Romulan cards.
They're triominoes with tarot.
Triominoes.
Triomino tarot cards.
Yeah. So she's going through this thing and. And Soji's asking questions, and it's funny because then we're also, while she's questioning Romda during this time, we're seeing like close-ups of other people. Like she's like realizing the different reactions other people are doing.
She's realizing Romulans like it in the back door because the front door is not a real door.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff we're finding out about Romulans, because she said there's also always a false front door, and there's
Romda is ignoring her, so she had to ask permission to
take her
down.
From behind.
She was not asking to take her from behind. She sat behind her and said, "May I come in, please?"
Yeah.
That's different. You make it sound so crass,
David.
It's weird.
It is strange.
I mean, it is.
What we're not filled in is what Romda feels like. What is she actually? What's her significance? We don't know that. And other than that, she's a survivor of a
Romda's significance is that she knows about Romulan mythology.
Right. No, but that's about it.
It's news.
Yeah, she's like the Lily Dale of Romulans.
The nudes.
Not nudes, David.
Yes.
I like that, the Lily Dale of Romulans. That's nice. So she's trying to question her, and she's not getting much out of her during this time. And this is where she starts going into that she knows who she is, and that she's a destroyer. What she called it, a destroyer, the end of all things,
Lightbringer, Earthshaker. Oh my god!
Well, it's funny because they just use that almost the same wording of that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Last season, where Daisy Johnson, the Chloe Bennett character, Quake was the destroyer of all, the destroyer of worlds or something like that. And it was exactly the same wording and stuff. It stuck out to me immediately.
Was Quake destroyer ever that big of a superhero?
Nah, but she's the lead in that show now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, good. Like she's sort of the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., even though Mac is and Coulson's dead. And right. I just gave a spoiler. Sorry. Yeah.
Real dead, though?
Well, you know, it's
never
like,
be for real dead.
Well, he's like,
he has to be at some point.
Clark Gregg is coming back next the final season as an LMD. So it's kind of like Tom Cavanaugh on The Flash, you know, like he's a new guy every season lately. So,
Well, so while she's going through that, we jump back to Chateau Picard, where they're questioning this Tal Shiar guy, and he kind of basically goes into the same thing that they're going to, you know, that this is the Soji and everything they're doing is going to destroy everything. So, so we don't know what that's all about. Obviously, it's very cryptic. And then the Tal Shiar bites into his poison capsule, and he disintegrates as well. So, and then they find out that it seems like Starfleet security will be on their way soon, so they got to get the hell out of there. So they beam up to their ship, where they see Raffi's there with Rios, and obviously they get out of there as fast as they can. And then we're back onto the Borg cube, and the Borg cube is they have what's his name, Narek, is basically comes to Soji. Soji's very confused because she's like, I know way more than I should know. It's really bizarre. I can't figure out what's happening. And he's like, I think I'm in love with you, which is totally manipulation, of course. And
does this pertain to the what I was just telling you, dude?
How does that,
how does it pertain to what I was being just telling you just now?
And then when after they have a little kissy kiss, he walks out, and then he finds his sister Rizzo, and she's got her ears back, and she's basically saying, "I'm going to act soon if you don't get all the get whatever they need out of Soji," which we're still unclear what they're looking for to get out of Soji. So
that was the creepiest scene ever, by the way.
That was a creepy scene.
when he walks out and his sister's kind of standing there in the shadows, and then they kind of like whisper at each other, and I'm just like, ooh.
It's totally going to be a Cersei and Jamie Lannister situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seemed a little incestuous. Yeah.
Definitely kind of creepy.
Yeah, seemed incestuous, yeah. And so that's where we wrap up from right there. I mean, obviously, they take off on Rio's ships with Picard and crew, and they're going to look for Bruce Maddox. So, guys, what do we think about this episode, and what do we think of where this is going? I'll let Pete go first, because Pete is our guest.
Oh, my gosh. I feel so nice.
You are so nice.
Yeah, I mean, like I said on the front side, I'm really enjoying it. I did think it stepped up. I said earlier that I love the design, but I really like the design of Rio's ship. It's kind of got a like
it's different looking.
Yeah, it's not, you know, your standard issue starship, you know. So I thought that was cool.
It looks like a heavily modified runabout.
Yeah, with like matchbox painting on it.
Nice.
I totally dug it.
Dave, it sort of looked like one of the ships in those illustrations in Jodorowsky's Dune.
Yeah, it looks like some. It doesn't look like anything from Star Trek. It looks like it's from Mass Effect or from Firefly.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a Star Trek ship, except if you kind of squint, yeah. It sort of looks like a runabout. It looks like a runabout even more from the inside. The front console is very reminiscent.
So after, you know, I was watching a little bit, and then I was reading up, and I saw, you know, like kind of some callbacks to the two-parter that ended TNG.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All good things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I should go back and watch that. So I watched I watched the first of the two, cause I couldn't get to both. And there's lots of little things in there, you know, the illness and stuff like that. There's some stuff that you guys probably know better than me, but he marries Beverly Crusher.
Yeah, and then they split up.
Right? Is that because there's like three or four different timelines going on in that episode?
True.
Right. So, like, was that a thing? Did he actually marry her?
We don't know.
Probably not in this timeline. Unless they split up just like they did in the other timeline.
Because we don't know where Beverly Crusher is right now. So we don't. We just don't.
The only thing we know that holds true is the aromatic syndrome. Because Data's alive in that other timeline, which he isn't in this timeline, even though he is alive in the original 2009 countdown, which was written by Kurtzman, which has been retconned, although only partially, which I wish they would come down and, like, say what is what. Because it's very confusing. I mean, if they're all canon, it's three different timelines at this point.
Well, and he was Ambassador Picard at one point in time.
Yes, that was during the comics. He was Ambassador to Vulcan, which I don't know if this has happened in this timeline either or not. Probably not. Unless he was Ambassador before he was reinstated to become Admiral of this fleet to save Romulus. We don't know the timeline.
I mean, one thing that I'm super glad that they retconned was his beard. It wasn't a good beard.
No, it was kind of,
you know, it was very like Irish thin beard. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised he didn't try to grow a real beard. It didn't look real at all.
Yeah, no, it was very definitely kind of
glued
in place. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm liking it. I feel like, you know, next episode, the speed picks up. We'll start to figure out what's going on. And, you know, I agree with David that maybe there was some wasted time there. Maybe I don't know about the episode and a half thing, but certainly they probably could have trimmed one of those two episodes out. Yeah. So maybe we get two episodes out of the three that we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's J.L. Picard. I love the guy.
Yeah. Pretty good.
That's my new thing. I'm never calling him Jean-Luc again.
What about you, Holly?
His new identity.
Yeah, it is.
Well, one thing I wanted to just quick mention, which was like 20 seconds ago, I think somewhere in one of these three episodes, it is mentioned that he was an ambassador to something. I just can't remember the scene or the dialogue or anything.
Okay.
I feel like I remember that, whether it was when Dodge came to the chateau or when they were in the courtyard or maybe even when Rafi's like throwing punches, but not really. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like something was said.
Nice.
I just can't remember. But I really liked the episode. And I think I kind of threw out some of my favorite things already. But again, I do want to say that I really liked the EMH. I think that it's cool that he matches the captain. I don't know what that means, but I think it's cool. I thought it was kind of sad that Picard doesn't take the chair. He kind of looks at it and brushes on Guy. But then after that moment, I loved his line that was like, "I don't make a habit of consulting lawyers before I do what needs to be done." I just loved. I absolutely loved that. And I was like, oh, is this going to be so good?
I thought they ejected all the lawyers into the sun 200 years before this.
Maybe.
We should work up to that.
Also, I loved his line before he left the chateau. That was, I don't think this was exact, but he said that, you know, I tried my best to belong to this place, but I don't think I ever belonged here.
Right.
Which
we knew.
Makes so much sense.
I wish they would have mentioned the ghosts of his brother and his nephew.
Robert.
That would have made it have more gravitas that he just didn't belong because it wasn't his, even though he tried to inherit it from his family. It just didn't. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if he like was haunted by their memory and their ghosts or something like that. That would have been kind of nice.
Yeah.
Especially since Picard's been through all this mental trauma, he should be having some like seeing things. That would be great. Like since they're clearing Picard for space, if they just made him like crazy, like just seeing like images of Robert and seeing images of Rene, that'd be kind of awesome.
There are only so many episodes, David.
Yeah,
there's also a lot of wasted space in the first two episodes.
I'm just saying, like, Yeah, character-wise, that would be great. However, for the storyline, that's not a good idea.
Isn't that the story in the White House? People say that there's a ghost of Lincoln, like, wandering the halls, worried about the Civil War and stuff like that. That's what people say.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's been a rumor for years that there's a ghost of Lincoln walking around. Obviously, he's tortured over what's happening with the United States and the Civil War. And it would be funny if he's seeing, like, Robert, like, worried about the grapes and then the fire consuming him.
That would be kind of hilarious.
Or visions of Robert bitching about Picard and how they got covered in mud.
I don't know. I think maybe they may have reconciled before Robert's death.
Well, they did reconcile, obviously, a little bit.
He can still be haunted by the past, though.
That is something from the past. What Picard, which brings us back to the amazing show intro. Which has, you know, the falling sky, the vineyard, the Borg cube, the iris that turns into a black hole, and everything. All of these things make up Picard. I just still love that.
Oh, that's just great.
Every time I see it, I'm like, oh. I'm so sorry that this all sucks for you, Picard. But I think that they did a really good job with that. Yeah. I didn't mean to steal your thunder, David. Did you have anything else you wanted to say before I finish?
Nope.
I'm so sorry. Let's not forget I've been drinking for a couple hours.
I just wanted to comment on some of your things.
Okay. Did you have any other comments before I keep going?
No.
Okay. Is it always like this?
Yeah.
Is it ever not?
I don't know. I mean, I did listen to the last couple episodes, but
no, we're not always drunk and obnoxious. I actually only have one other thing left to say.
Yeah.
That Aaron, I'm surprised you didn't touch on this.
So I'm having great fun tonight.
So when Rhonda's freaking out, she asks Soji which twin she is, and Soji's like, the fuck, nobody told you I'm a twin. And so Soji calls her mom.
Oh yeah, that's right, I forgot. Yeah, because we talked about this on the first episode,
and her mom is so boring she falls asleep.
Some sort of like hypnosis prompt kind of thing, like boop.
Yes. I'm sure it's that, but I like
the lights out.
I like to think she's boring.
She's not that boring, David. Mom's come on, not that boring. Get with the times. But yeah, she calls her mom and she's like, I think something's wrong with Dodge. And she's like, no, I spoke with Dodge today. And then all of a sudden she like powers down and falls asleep and then wakes up and has no recollection of it. And I'm just like, ah. So remember the first episode I was like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of Dodge's mom. She's a little lying bitch. Well, she is.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because Dodge's mom is Maddox with a Dodge's mom face on him.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
She's a plant, or she's some kind of like, you know, man.
Or she doesn't even exist.
Yeah, she doesn't exist.
I don't think she's just a real
computer program, because I'm sure she got her memories, right?
Yeah, those memories aren't real. It's like taking data and giving them a backstory, which was never true.
I think the hologram that talks to Dodge is just the hologram, but I'm pretty sure Maddox can interface with it and speak through it.
I mean, is he alive? Is he dead? Did he die trying to do what he did? We don't know yet. There are so many things. Well,
I think he's got to be alive.
Picard's quest
way is too much stuff into him. I think he's got to be alive.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
That would be cool, because he was only like a blip in the show.
Yeah.
Previously, so that would be cool if they brought the entire.
So was Hugh, and they brought Hugh back. So I'm pretty sure
Alex is coming back. And I looked at the guy who plays Bruce Maddox's IMDb page, and he's not doing a lot. So I mean,
he's not busy right now.
He's available.
It's hard to believe how many Star Trek alumni aren't busy right now.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's it's been really cool. How about you, Dave? What do you think?
You go for me, Aaron. Go ahead.
I love this. I love it. I thought it was great. I think the pacing finally picked up. Narek, he's just so scummy. I just don't like him. I have a lot of questions of who Soji is.
That's his job, though, right?
Yeah,
like, he is. They're like, we want you to like be this scummy guy, you know?
Oh yeah, yeah, I agree. He definitely is, and I just like, you know, I don't know. It's like anybody. It's like when you see somebody who's with somebody you know is terrible for them, and you're just like, get the fuck away from that person, but they don't ever do. So. Yeah. So, anyways, that's just kind of. I'm glad that things are picking up, and I'm glad it's going in the right direction. I still think there's some fascinating stories that are being told here that will change the Star Trek universe forever. And I really wonder if Soji is something more than just Data. Like, I wonder if she's tied in with some other DNA. Like I've always thought, like, could it be a Borg Queen DNA or something like that? So.
I don't know if you guys, so admittedly, I did not listen to last week's podcast.
Oh, I'm hurt.
What?
So sorry. I've been wanting to, but so my plan was to bring my ideas about last week's episode to today's episode and then go back and listen, but then I got drunk.
Yeah.
But there was something, shit, now I don't remember where I was going with this. What were you saying, Aaron?
I just said I think that everything's being. I think where the show's taking it with the story thread that things are going to change the Star Trek universe forever. Either there's some kind of amalgamation combination of with the Romulan and the Borg, or with android or synthetics and the Borg. I'm not sure which. But,
yeah, I remember now. There was something said in episode 2. About, so Romulan A, who is working with the Federation, who is the girl who has both rounded and pointy ears, whatever her name was, I can't remember.
Rizzo.
So Rizzo, when she meets her brother and she's all being creepy and shit with her brother in the dark, She says something and he says something and they make it sound like it's not just two of them. It's multiples. So I don't know if there are more than two or if there's like a factory of these synthetic daughters.
Oh yeah.
And it's just the way that it's said. And I guess it is this episode. It's when they're in the dark together and. No, it could be when she's in, I think it's in episode 2, when she like, projects into his bed chambers, which again, creepy!
Yeah, totally.
I think that's when it's said, like, she doesn't know her nature, and then she's like, has she led you to the others? And the way it's said, it just seems like it's more than two. It's definitely more than two.
I think that's a good call.
I mean, it's a possibility for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
But there's also that they were saying that the Tal Shiar has like a secret society within the secret society.
Like Romulan Knights Templar?
No, what were they called? We were making jokes about it all last time.
The Shadvash. The Vashjah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do know this.
The Shadvash, yeah.
I kept thinking it was Bashir, and I was like, no, that's from some other
Deep
thing.
Space Nine.
Shadvash.
Zadvash, yeah.
I'll take a number 2 with Zadvash, please.
Zadvash. But that's what we were saying is like it's maybe that's what they are. They're part of that. And the thing is too, even Picard talks about this with Roth Raffi is like if the Tal Shiar is working on Earth, then the Federation, somebody in the Federation knows this is happening.
Right.
So, which we
figured out was Commodore O.
Commodore O is in cahoots with the Tal Shiar. So,
I think she is.
Oh yeah, she definitely is.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a conspiracy happening there within the upper ranks.
They're up there building the NCC 1701B of the USS Vengeance.
Yeah, they're building the next one, right?
They're
exactly.
building the next one.
Next one, right, to blow everybody up.
It doesn't exist in this universe, so it would be the first one.
Dave, how about you?
That's definitely, definitely a good episode. I definitely have. It's weird. A lot of the online reviewers hated this episode most of all, and to me, it's the best one of the three. Like I said up front, I like Captain Rios a lot. I do suspect he will die since his hologram is him. I like that we're finally in space. Strange that they didn't meet Riker this episode, so I'm presuming Riker and Troy will be on Beta Zed, and they will make a pit stop for gas or something on Beta Zed to say what they're going to do.
You have to take off your clothes when you're pumping gas at Beta Zed?
Always. Every activity is always full.
Does it depend on your age?
No, it does not.
That's creepy.
Weddings and pumping gas, always in the buff.
Weddings and pumping
gas. I'm not taking my kids there.
you better. Beta's, it's a beautiful place. Wang, as far as the eye can see. Oh, the family restaurant's very family oriented, let me tell you. But
I mean, when you're around it all the time, it's not really that big a deal. Yeah, it's
just I'm really sorry I asked that question.
It's a giant nudist colony. It's great.
Hey, if you ever hung around a YMCA men's locker room, they're almost always naked. So,
oh my gosh, there were these guys playing racquetball once when I was like, I don't know, 12.
With their balls.
Kept looking up at the glass and like winking, and they were like 60 or something.
Yeah.
I was like,
creepy old man.
Yeah. Almost as old as me.
yeah. Creepy old man.
Huh? Don't wink at little 14-year-olds.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. Yeah. Do not do that.
Run away. Well,
that would be really bad for my career. So
yeah, well, be...
you wouldn't. Oh, you wouldn't.
He's a teacher. It'd be very bad for his career.
Yes. Career done. Not ready right there yet.
Make sure both eyes blink. That wink. That way it's a blink.
Right.
What?
Said, make sure both eyes go so it's a blink and not a wink.
I got dust in my eyes. Leave me alone. Lecherous.
Yeah. Terrible. So presumably they'll be making a pit stop in Beta Zed before they really get kicked off. I'm assuming.
Well, the next two episodes is directed by Jonathan Franks. So.
Why do you think that they live on Beta Zed now?
Why would Picard go back to Earth after they just left the space? So presumably they're living on Beta Zed.
Maybe they're like on Rigel 9 or something like that. You know, like they're just like, oh, let's find a nice tropical planet.
Nah.
I feel like
Troy's too much of a mama's girl.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when Beta Zeds go into their maturity or their quote unquote menopause for whatever, that's when the fun starts.
They get 12 times as horny.
Not only do they like get hypersexual, but then they go looking for their next husband. So like if they stay on planet, maybe that kind of eliminates.
Well, she was looking for her next husband because she was single. Troy is not single. She's married to
I've read about this. So when Aaron was asking us like what races we kind of identify with, I was like, well, maybe I identify with Beta Zeds, and then I was like, maybe not.
you got super horny when you're not 40 yet, so we don't know.
I'm not, so I'm gonna say probably not gonna happen, but we'll see. I don't know.
Let us know when you're 40.
Menopausal, let us know.
Yeah. We'll let you know. It'll be headlines.
Headlines. Holly becomes super horny. Find out more 10.
Find out in 20 years.
Yeah, but maybe that's why they're on Beta Zed, because he can keep her all to himself, and he wants it all to himself.
Also, if you remember...
How cool is it? Go ahead, Dave.
I said also, if you remember, during the Dominion War, Beta Zed fell to... I believe they fell to Romulus, because Romulus and the Dominion are working together, so it's probably on their way. To wherever the Borg cube is, if it's presumably on the way to Romulus or near Romulan space, so it might not be that far out of the way for them to go there. Also, Troy's a lot of a mama's girl, so I'm pretty sure she's going to go to their home. I mean,
Mom's still alive.
Michelle Barrett's dead. I don't think they're going to recast her.
But like, what's the lifespan of the race?
Unspecified. She's probably not still there. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure she's. I think they live as long as humans.
My heart if they recast her.
No, you can't.
They were never specified to live longer than humans, to my knowledge. Guinan's people have hundreds of years. Yoda lives for hundreds of years, but we don't know. We don't think Beta Zeds do.
I actually think Whoopi Goldberg probably going to live for hundreds of years too. she'll still be doing The View or The Talk or whatever show that is. Like, in we'll be talking in Stardate, and she'll still be doing that show. How cool is it though that both Jonathan Frakes and Marina Sirtis are going to be at Nickel City Con in Buffalo this year?
I hope they'll get to talk to Marina Sirtis on the panel.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And then I'll have to wrangle Jonathan Frakes some other time.
Corn him in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, that'll be great for my recorder.
Toilet flushing. I mean, I'm in California, so have fun with that.
Take me, Riker. Toilet
flushing in the background.
Book your tickets.
That's right.
So with I'm guessing the first bit of next episode they'll take a stop on Beta Zed. Picard will fill them in on what they're doing. Like, oh, you have fun, Picard. It's really strange that in episode two they had the whole thing where they were saying, oh, what about Troy or Riker? And then they say no. I feel like it was written when they weren't going to have them in, and I feel like they added them as cameos just to like put in the trailer. So presumably. Maybe. So presumably, like, it was kind of an afterthought, and they just won't join them, and they'll just be a cameo in the next episode, and then they can
go on. No, because it looks like they're going to meet that Elnor, which is basically looks like Legolas, the Romulan, like, weapons fighter.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think we're going to see the Bird of Prey in this next episode as well.
Well, I guess you guys will kind of find out, because somebody is hosting the panel with Jonathan Frakes, right?
Somebody
is. He's got it.
Hey. Do you have anything like that you're definitely going to ask him when you talk to him, or do you not know yet?
I haven't given it any thought, because at this point in time, we don't even know what that's going to look like.
Ask him how many alien women he's slept with.
No, I'm not asking him that.
Aaron, you and I will do that when we corner him in the bathroom with a recorder.
He's had so many good
I'm having you both banned.
Like, I hope that you guys talk about, like, his writing.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I haven't given any thought because we don't know what it looks like yet. Gotcha. Whether he's going to when Shatner was in town, mm-hmm. he did a 45-minute monologue, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even have, I don't even think they had anybody introduce him. I think he just walked up on stage and did his thing. So,
William Shatner.
We don't know what any of them are going to look like yet.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, yeah. Shatner is his own thing.
Yeah. Right. But these two are equally as big a stars in the Star Trek fandom as he is, you know? So, mm-hmm.
But from what I hear, they aren't as pompous as he is. So
they're very down to earth. And what they do is they absolutely adore the Star Trek fandom as well.
Yeah. And I, you know, like, I hope so. I hope I get the chance to, you know, in my deal is the MC of the thing, I get to kind of walk up and talk to people. So I hope I get to talk to both of them. We'll see how it goes. Some people have that kind of, you know, there's a gatekeeper there and you can't even really get in unless you pay the couple of bucks. But
yeah,
I'm super psyched that we've got a lot of great guests for Nickel City Con this year.
And when are the dates for that? Do you guys have set dates?
Yeah.
It's in May, right?
Yeah, May 17, 18, 19, I think, of 2020 at the Buffalo Niagara Convention Center.
Cobain's.
Tickets are on sale now. Thanks for asking, Holly Michelle.
You're welcome. I won't be making it, but somebody, actually, we have a house guest, and he's like, so are you going to make it to, like, L.A. or San Diego Comic-Con? And I'm like, do you understand how expensive tickets are and like how fast they go?
That's insane. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to try, but I don't think they've gone live yet. So I need to look for that.
Yeah. That's one of those insane things to get into.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. And he's like, well, if you get two tickets, I'll go with you. But if it's more than 150, I don't think I'll be able to make it. And I'm like, I don't think I can make it. It's going to be a lot.
It's on my geek bucket list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
mine too. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys follow San Diego Comic-Con, but there's a guy who actually he's a retired Marine and he's a DOD employee and he makes Transformer cosplay stuff.
Nice.
He's called the San Diego Bumblebee, and he comes to the beach all the time, and he and I have talked for hours. Like we're I'm checking him in, and we're just talking, and his wife comes in, and she's like, are you ready? And he's like, oh, sorry, I got the key. We're all good. And we're like, been talking for like an hour and a half.
That's awesome.
But yeah, he hosted a panel last year, and I so wanted to see him because he's just like, he's just the nicest guy, and his bumblebee is amazing.
That's awesome.
He's so good.
And but I like that. I like that last Bumblebee movie. I thought it was a lot of fun.
You know, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you'd love it. It's so fun. It's not like any. It's not like any of the older, the Michael Bay shit. All that. The others. It's not like it.
The Ant-Man and the Wasp of the.
Yeah, I adore
Optimus Prime verse.
I
Transformer verse.
Yeah, it's worth watching if you want a refreshing take of the Transformers. It's pretty damn good.
I feel like the last one kind of died out, so maybe that's why I haven't had the desire to watch.
Yeah, the rest of them. I mean, I've been forced to watch them because my son is a huge Transformers fan, so I've had to go through all of them, sadly. Yeah. And but when I saw Bumblebee, I was like, this is a good movie. This is very fun. So
yeah, there'll be a point where he gets older and you'll miss watching movies with him, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying they don't. He just went through a whole Star Wars kick, and we burned through all the Star Wars movies. Because I used to put him on all the time. He couldn't give two shits about it. He's like, I don't care. Now all of a sudden he was interested, and we went through all of it. So, and we saw Rise of Skywalker together, and it was fun. So
nice.
So here's my question for Picard.
Yeah, back to Picard.
Back to Picard. Do you think there's any surprises coming as far as like a character that we don't know is going to be in it shows up?
That's a good question.
That's an interesting question.
Because we know Jeri Ryan is coming back.
She wasn't even in that show.
She wasn't, but we know she knows she's coming. Yeah.
And we know Frakes, and we know Marina Sirtis is coming.
There's rumors that John DeLancey, who plays Q, might be.
That's the guy. That's the guy that needs to show up. Like,
that would be exciting for me.
It's not Picard without Q.
Right. And I just watched. I watched the. What is it? All Good Things. Good Things Part One, and he's in the end of that. And,
right.
You know. So
it circles back to the beginning, very first episode back in season one, where the humanity is still on trial,
right?
Kind of thing. There was a shot that someone saw, like, and it was just, you couldn't see who it was, but there's a hand with a red glove, so they're thinking it was John DeLancey with the that judge costume, that weird, like, you know, medieval Renaissance looking judge costume. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, it's a stretch. But if it is, I guarantee you, it's the very end of season one.
I mean, I haven't gotten to finish what I was trying to say, but
Oh yeah,
get in here, David.
I mean, like,
hustle your way in, man.
I'm just waiting for everyone to finish talking about the cons. That's
you can mute topic. All the rest of the microphones where you are. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, but then you guys can't respond to what I'm saying. Kind of defeats the purpose. But to answer your question, as far as for someone showing up, I wouldn't be surprised if Picard pulled the Discovery or the Enterprise shows up last second, and then because the comics allude to, oh, we don't want to piss off the captain of the Enterprise, but they don't say who it is. I'm presuming we'll find out that it'll be a secret character that hasn't been announced. It'll probably be Worf, since Worf has been barking about Captain Worf for forever. So I mean, like, it would make a lot of sense for Worf to come back. But for what I was saying, for like upcoming stuff, my ideas is, I think Maddox is working with the Romulans or was captured by the Romulans for his knowledge. He made a deal with the Romulans to destroy the fleet by using the Senths, and to destroy the Senths too. So he hacked the Senth that we saw in episode 2, made it go rogue, and then his deal is he's working with the Borg. His deal, he might even be in the Borg ship, or he's working with Borg stuff off-world. He probably merged Data and the Borg Queen, which is probably why the Romulans are like, oh, this is the death. This is the Deathbringer. It's going to cause the end of the world. Because I think it's got to be more than just being synthetic and Romulans being scared of synthetics. And there's also the thing that they said the Zod Vash, their secret is so great it might break your brain. So there's also theories running around that the Romulans invented the Borg somehow. And that might be
that makes no sense.
It doesn't. But it that might be the quote unquote secret to make their brain. That makes absolutely no sense, and I don't give it a whole lot of credence. But I mean, like, if their secret that it'll break your brain if you find out is that they hate scents, that's not. I mean, that they're making it pretty obvious they don't like scents. But if they created the Borg or somehow created the Borg, that could be interesting. Although it's kind of dumb at the same time.
Could have been an accident.
It could have been like when they were experimenting with cybernetics, but
yeah, I mean, stuff like this happens all the time, and where something accidentally happens, unintended consequences roll downhill or whatever. Could have been that. And then they were like, don't tell anybody. They hate us enough as it is.
Well, the thing is,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So Data was incinerated. How did Maddox even get his essence? I mean, I get that they were friends and that maybe Data gave him like some tiny piece of himself, but I don't remember with episodes 1, 2, or 3 that it's explained how they could have come by Data's.
They didn't. Presumably, Data's engrams, Data sent some engrams to Maddox to study or something like that. Some engrams
he didn't need. Honestly, I got the impression that he went to Shinzon's ship after Nemesis, the scimitar, the wreckage, and maybe just went looking for pieces of Data.
I mean, that's not a terrible thought. It's at least possible. Gives us some kind of explanation.
If Data's that unique, it'd be like going looking for gold in a mine. I mean, just go out in space looking for the wreckage of the scimitar and then look for Data.
Yeah.
Maybe Maddox called him on like public Wi-Fi.
Also, Data had physical contact with Lore, and Lore was disassembled, so maybe some of Data's cells came off on Lore.
Yeah, Lore.
I don't know.
Was it Descent,
Part 1 and 2. I watched all 3 episodes with Hugh in it over the last couple days, so it was Iborg and Descent 1 and 2.
And at the very end of Descent, he shuts down Lore. And
he touches Lore, so maybe some of his DNA is brushed off on, or whatever he's made of.
And he
wouldn't have DNA, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
His robotic cells, whatever.
He's going to disassemble Lore.
This is one of those questions that, you know, hopefully gets wrapped up at the end of this thing.
We can, by the way.
I don't know. That's just something that I wanted to just ask because. Sometimes I miss things, sometimes I don't, but I felt like I missed it.
I mean, the whole cloning Data from a cell, like, as these androids is a huge stretch, so I really hope they elaborate on this, and this is where I'm thinking Borg technology will come into effect, because maybe Borg technology could replicate it to the point where they could find it. Although, and like, why don't they just start scanning for positronic brains? Because if you remember in Nemesis, they just are, like, attending Troy's wedding, and all of a sudden, oh, look, there's a positronic signature showing up on the Romulan neutral zone, and presumably they're on Earth doing the first part of the wedding before they go to Beta Zed. So, I mean, like, these positronic signals can be picked up for forever, so why don't they just scan for a positronic brain and go, oh, look, there's Soji. I mean,
well, something you said, I don't really remember what exactly it was, but it made me think. So, I think in episode 1, or I think it's episode 2, Picard asks what Daj's purpose was, and her purpose was essentially to go to school at this prestigious college. And what is Soji's purpose? Soji's purpose is to reclaim Borg. So what is the purpose of this unknown robot? She's obviously going against the Romulans because she doesn't live in fear of the Romulans aboard the reclaimed ship, the artifact, but she's definitely not in control of her life.
Well, and that's the thing is if Soji is on the Borg cube with Romulans, and you have Tel Shiar operating in the Borg cube, and assuming you have Zod Vash working within Tel Shiar.
Well, I mean, Narek's Zod Vash.
But they have Soji. Why do they need Daj?
So the plot could start.
But the Jad Vash are looking to eliminate her, but they need her to open up about where her siblings are. So obviously, the Jad Vash are not in control of them. So who is? And who is Maddox working with?
Maddox is on Free Cloud, which is looks like the Vegas of...
Right.
Yeah, Maddox it's definitely like Canto Bight.
Yeah.
Maddox has probably gone rogue. I mean, he probably double-crossed the Romulans in some which way after his deal with them to get Borg technology.
Mm-hmm. Now he's running. Good call. That'd be fun.
And he's on the run, or he's just hiding. And Soji is his in. But the thing is, Soji has already had the training for Daystrom, and her sister was just enrolled. So it's weird that they gave him two different backstories. One's already
was
finished.
She trained at Daystrom, or was she trained somewhere else?
Sure, she said.
I don't remember.
No. This is where it's different. I totally believe that both sisters were pre-programmed with all this knowledge because they're technically they're organic, but they're androids or synthetics, mm-hmm. and they're given a whole backstory that they did all these things, and so Dodge was accepted to work at the Daystrom Institute, and while Soji is working with these repatriated or whatever you want to call them,
she called them reclaimed.
Reclaimed, yeah, right.
Unborg.
So it's not a weird like timeline thing because they are each programmed to they know each other and they know like their timelines with each other. So like
exactly.
They both have a 3-year short past backstory built into them, and then a backstory for their life before the 3 years. Yeah, Maddox has definitely got to be involved. And I can't wait to see him. Can't wait to see old Maddox with his long hair, being all crazy, talking about androids. And he probably is building a whole new fleet of androids. Probably using maybe he's using Lore now. Who knows? I mean, like he stole Lore's technology.
Let's say, how would he have gotten the parts in this short period of time?
He wouldn't have gotten a short period. He would have got it before the synths were taken out. Before the synths got decommissioned, he probably took over.
That's true.
He probably got Laura's body right after the descent and went crazy. And then he liked Data, and so he used the Ingram's data, sent him to make these girl clones who are also part Borg, possibly.
What if? So I think it's mentioned in episode 1 or episode 2 that Maddox and Data were friends and that they communicated. What if there's some crazy shit where, like, this is like a preemptive thing that Data set up with Maddox?
Oh.
It's possible, yeah.
What if this whole thing, won't you be pissed, David?
Is it a TV show?
If you get to the end... And all he wanted to do, all Maddox wanted to do, was score a bag of snake leaf from Rafi.
Whoa.
Big, holy intricate mind. Plan to get a dime bag.
That would be funny, actually.
Oh, I just want it.
Well, Dodge just went to the wrong place if he wanted snake weed.
Clearly, he needed to be in the trailer park.
She went to the grape yard, not the snake weed yard.
Yeah. Wrong place.
Oh, boy.
Well, so it's a lot of cool stuff. I really think this whole this season and whatever comes after the season will reshape what we know of the Star Trek universe. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Do you think Patrick Stewart is as frail as he seems
in the show,
or do you think that is him playing frail JL?
Honestly, I don't know because I watch him on his Instagram, and he was on a TV show maybe 2 years ago, and I didn't get I just never knew when it was on, and I never watched it. He worked in media. I can't remember what the show was, but he looked really frail then, about 2 years ago. And then like there have been times where he's been like playing with his little pit bull buddies on his Instagram, and I'm like, well, you're so thin, and I wouldn't say frail.
It's even in his voice, though. Like if you listen to his voice,
it's a little shaky. Yeah,
it sounds old, and I'm just wondering if that's him playing old.
I I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think he's healthy, you know, but I think he's a 70-some year old man, and it's, you know, he's got a good life and he's very healthy, but I don't think he can I don't think he can fight the Tal Shiar or even a Klingon for that matter. So
yeah, I mean, I don't care if he's fighting anybody. I worry about, you know, are we going to end? Is next season going to be, you know,
Sir Patrick Stewart's last
Star Trek Guinan? You know, like Star Trek.
That's great.
I mean, he's already basically signed a contract with her on the View.
So I think the first episode he seemed really, really frail, and then the guys were like, "Oh, this is so slow," and I'm like, "Yeah, but I think that it's going to pick up and he's going to start kicking ass." And I just think he's playing it down, like he's playing like he's frail and can't do much. And then he says in episode one, "I've been waiting to die instead of living." Yeah. And
maybe he grows.
Maybe he starts off as a little more frail and then he grows and he becomes a little more mighty. And
I mean, so, let's be clear. I don't need Jean-Luc Picard to kick ass ever. You know what I mean? Like, he's not that guy. He never was for me.
I mean, are you saying that he's like Theoden of the King of Rohan and Lord of the Rings, where he's like all decrepit and he's like, and then one day, Gandalf wakes him up and breaks a spell and he grips his sword again.
He says it in this episode. I was trying to be something that I'm not.
Sure.
He gave up living and now he wants to go back to the stars.
Right. Right. But I mean, it's like, you know, do you think he's like your hand would be feel you'd be stronger if the king's hand would feel stronger if he gripped his own sword kind of thing. So it's interesting. I kind of like the idea that we have an older actor and it's OK that they're old and they don't have to be the action hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I've never really wanted him to be the, you know what I mean? Like that's not who he was always the statesman,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
So
right.
Even when there was things where he had to be a little actiony, they were a little actiony. Like he wasn't Jim Kirk. He never was. And I never wanted him to be.
He swung like Tarzan in freaking First Contact. What are you talking about?
Well, First Contact, come on.
Well, you know, and it was a one-time kind of deal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's an interesting concept for a show, and you have supporting characters that can do all the shooting and kicking and punching and stuff like that. So,
I hope we don't I'm forgetting their names. Wait, I've got it written down right here. The two Romulans that live with him.
I always forget their names too.
Jabon and Laris.
Saban. Yeah.
You know, I hope we're not done with them because they were fun characters.
Yeah.
I don't think we're done. I think they're going to hang back and they'll come back and into action. They're the reserve. You know.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're taking care of the chateau, and I think that that's fitting because when we met them in the comic, they were taking care of a vineyard on a planet that the Romulans took over, and Picard saves them, and it's amongst this war thing, and they took over his vineyard because he needed it, and then he wanted to fit in with his family, and so they just all three of them made a life. And then I think they'll stay at the chateau. I don't think they're going to go venturing off. I think Alaris was pretty pissed off. Is it Alaris? Laris. I don't remember.
Laris.
She's like, she's super pissed off that he could even think that he could go up against the super spies.
Jean Vash.
And she's like, go get yourself killed and take this fucker with you too.
But you know what's funny about it is it's two things. One is like he gets them to come to his vineyard because Laris and Saban come to my vineyard because I don't know shit about grapes. Right. And but you know, here's a guy who can broker peace and work peace within the Klingon Empire stop the Borg and all the amazing thing he's done, but you know, there's like, he can't take care of, he can't live a simple life. Like, I think that's phenomenal, because there's people that can do like amazing things, but then they can't do the most simplest things. Yes. And like, you're like, why can't you take care of this? And they're like, I just don't know how to handle it. Yeah. You know?
And that's, so I think that's a lot of why the first couple episodes are so slow going, and people think that they're going nowhere, but like, it's all important stuff. I mean, you get to this episode and you hear him talk about leaving it behind because it wasn't who he was. And you also hear about how when he bluffed the Federation, they were like, okay, well, your resignation is accepted. And then they fired his first. So it's like, or his second, or what, you know. And it's just like,
I totally love that everybody is putting him in his place.
From all the doors are closing.
Yeah. From the is she an admiral or something at the beginning? Yeah. And she's like admiral, you know.
Yeah.
And then Rafi's like, you got some nerve. You know, everybody is just like knocking him down a peg. Yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm.
But he's gotta go. He's gotta do what he feels is right.
Absolutely.
So it's great.
That's cool. Yeah. Anything else we want? Let's wrap this up, guys.
One other observation I had was I thought that Rios's holographic controls are really cool, and this is a callback to Deep Space Nine. I think it was The Visitor, whenever Jake Sisko gets old Bashir and old Dax to fly the Defiant to the place where the accident happened initially, and Bashir is like, I can't believe I don't have my 3D holograms. How do we ever deal with this 2D crap?
Nice.
So that was those 3D hologram controls are a really cool callback to Deep Space Nine, as a mention.
Nice. Very cool.
But that's it for this episode.
Everything kind of, you know, like it evolved. Right. In the X number of years since we saw them, right? Everything evolved, and I think it totally looks slick.
Yeah.
It does look good. It's got to be weird for the actors. It's got to be weird for the actors interacting with nothing.
I don't know.
Iron Man's been doing it for forever.
All of these actors have been acting in Hollywood for years since Star Trek, so I don't know that it's weird for them.
They went to the Robert Downey Jr. School of Touching Nothing to interface with computers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, the good news is they just lay all those graphics in after it's done.
Yeah, no, it's easy enough, I suppose.
Flail about with your arms and we'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
No, you got to give credit to the people who stand in for the things that you're supposed to be looking at, whether it's a tennis ball on a stick or a person with a puppet on their head. You don't know.
A giant Rios, cod piece.
Do jazz hands.
Do jazz hands.
Well, anyways, guys, well, this has been a great discussion. I'm glad this show is kind of, the pacing's picking up. That's where I thought it was lacking. Maybe you're right, Holly. Maybe it needed a little slow pace to set up characters and set up the temperature where things were, and then we can move forward from there. But I'm glad it's picking up, and it's obviously we're all very excited about this. So yes. It is getting pretty damn good. Pete, why don't you tell the fine audience where they can find you with the Geekiverse?
Yeah. Come visit us at thegeekiverse.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Pete Herr. And you can follow the Geekiverse on any of the social media platforms at the Geekiverse.
Nice. Very good. And the Geekiverse has tons of content. They, you know, write articles about movies and TV shows and video games.
Their podcasts.
And then there's a lot of podcasts, too.
And then we can knock on your door at where?
Come on over.
Come on over. Can you hang drywall?
Thank you, Aaron.
I know at least one person can hang drywall. If the other two of you can, come on over too.
I can do it. Don't worry. So that's great. So definitely check out the Geekiverse. And as well as you can check us out, you can go to, like I said before, you can go to our group pages at facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. You can join us there. There's lots of discussion about Picard memes and all sorts of other things. You can also go to our webpage, I'm sorry, at Synthaholics.com. Please go to our Twitter as well. You can find us there at Synthaholic Duo. on Twitter. And as I said, if this show is worth something to you, please go to our Patreon, patreon.com/synthaholics, and throw us a few bucks. That's greatly appreciated to help the show. And as always, if you can, a totally free way is to share it on social media or just tell friends that about the podcast you're listening to. So that'd be great as well.
David is dark and scary.
Sometimes. Pete, thank you so much for joining us. And
My gosh, it was my pleasure.
It was a lot of fun.
I haven't talked to Holly Michelle in a year, maybe
more. It's been so long.
I know, she's been out there longer than we think. It doesn't seem as long, but
right. Last time I talked to her, I think she was sober.
Well, it's a year.
Hey, now.
She's been drinking since then.
It's been a year and a half since she's been out there, and it'll be almost 2 years by the time Kaylee and I get married.
Oh my gosh, yes, because I moved out here in July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be 2 years since we've seen your face in person. Get your butt back over
it's
here.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. It was so awesome talking with you again, Pete.
Yeah, you as well.
Very nice. Well, Dave and Holly, thanks for talking, and I'm glad we're having fun with this. And let's just hope that these episodes keep up the pace and it still is entertaining and fun.
At least seven more weeks of Picard.
Yes, at least.
11 if we do our Trek Yards recap. I don't know. I haven't talked with him about it, but maybe.
All right, cool. Well, as everyone, as always, live long and prosper, one and all.
My boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Rios is just so rough.
Every time you guys say Rios, I think of the kids movie Rio, and I'm like, how do you guys who have kids not like want to sing the Rio Rio song?
I think of Duran Duran Rio. Her name is Rio, and she dances on the.
That's because you're almost as old as me.
I know.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
Don't have to rub it in, Pete.
Now that's in my head. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem, Holly.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for nothing. But no, seriously, Pete, it was so awesome to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, even if it's just messages back and forth once in a while, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. I'm glad for you, but I'm totally offended that you have any other friends that aren't us.
Gender bender.
I know. I know. I'm sorry.
You're not allowed.
I have a few other
just
friends.
Just kidding.
Just
one or
two. I want
your every happiness, my friend.
Just one or two, Holly. Just one or two.
Yeah,
just once he socializes with in public.
We aren't lucky enough to be those of which he socializes in public.
Well, Holly, you're also distantly challenged.
Well, yes. There's that.
No, you're right. Geographically challenged.
Geographically challenged.
Yeah, let's go for a drink. I'll meet you in Kansas.
Anyway.
Go to Kansas, right?
Yeah, that's where the Winchesters hang out. Kansas.
Oh boy.
Charles Emerson?
No, the supernatural Winchesters.
Dean and Sam?
Yeah, Dean and Sam.
Oh, okay.
And
okay,
Crowley. Okay.
Who is, Winchester.
Yeah, the Winchesters.
Mm-hmm.
Cause well,
because this is all of a sudden a supernatural podcast.
Yes. Yes.
And they shouldn't have gotten rid of Crowley because Crowley was the best.
You said Crowley, and I automatically went to American Gods, and I went, Crowley? What are we? I'm drunk, but what are we talking about?
No, Crowley, Mark A. Shepard from Firefly and from Battlestar Galactica.
I'm not that invested in, like, we were talking about Supernatural, right? Does he have any tie-in to Supernatural?
Yeah, Mark A. Shepard is
he's
Crowley.
He's talking about the actor.
Right. I don't know what character that person plays on Supernatural because I didn't actually watch the show.
Oh, okay. That's why you're confused, because if you've seen the show, you would not be confused because he's a lot of people's favorite.
Yes. But Pete, how are you?
I'm so great. Long. It has been so long because you moved.
I know. Such a disappointment to the world.
Yeah. Well, I bet you're warm. I bet you're warmer right now.
You know what's ridiculous is that I've already acclimated to the California weather, and I'm freezing, and it's only like
Video quality is starting. Audio quality is starting. I'm gonna drop the video because I'm hitting some bad noises.
You were, you were all of a sudden just checking there on.
Yeah, I'm killing the video. I heard some. It sounds.
My internet super sucks today. I don't know why. Like, I woke up and I could not use my internet. I'm gonna actually turn my Wi-Fi off. Actually,
it's like we all need freaking gigabit to do video now.
I'm nude.
let's give the file some clothing.
No, it's naked now. You can go ahead and start, guys.